Jonah chapter 1. Thank you, church, for your hospitality and your kindnesses to me as well. Someone asked me last night, do you feel welcome? And I absolutely do. I've enjoyed the time of fellowship after service as well. That's been a blessing too. Jonah chapter 1. I do appreciate Pastor giving the time for prayer this evening before the service as we just got started. And I praise the Lord for that. And the Lord had directed my heart in a very unusual way. And so when you prayed for something to happen tonight in an unusual way, I kind of... it just confirmed in my heart that I was supposed to do what I'm supposed to do. Amen. Jonah chapter 1, and some of you are thinking, well, he's from Western North Carolina. Is this a snake handling service? I mean, we don't do that on Friday nights. It's okay. Verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, come and cast lot, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? He said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hadst cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the flood compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee. With the voice of thanksgiving I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was this not my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, Lord, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, Doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. It came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die. And he said, It is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? So we're in God's house. It's okay to read his word. And Sunday I'll preach on the book of Psalms. We'll just read the whole thing. I thought by reading the whole book, 48 verses, that it would help me give you the backdrop of what I want to talk about tonight. Many a pastor, many an evangelist, many a missionary has called this text and read from some portion and told you something in the course of your life. Sunday school teachers tell this story. But it was a real account. It was a real event. It isn't a fanciful story or a notion. I genuinely believe that this is the real deal article. It's not an allegory. It's not a myth. I really believe that Jonah was genuinely swallowed by a great fish. I believe that. In fact, Jesus even connected his own resurrection with the same situation here of Jonah being in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. Tonight, I don't want to talk to you about the whale. I don't want to talk to you about Nineveh. I don't want to talk to you about Tarshish. I don't want to talk to you about the ship. I don't want to talk to you about the mariners. I don't want to talk to you about any of those popular details. I want to talk to you tonight because each night I focus on one corporate theme for the church in regard to our missions conference and outreach. The first night we talked about having a gospel-centered life. That is to say that our lives are about the gospel. Last night we talked about how we are together in missions. Tonight, I'd like to speak to you about your heart. And not just your individual hearts, but rather the corporate heart of the church. You say, the church has a heart? Well, we believe the church is a living organism. We believe she is the bride of Christ. And corporately, that is together. I'm not talking about corporately like an incorporation. I'm talking about collectively as a congregation. We too have a heart. The very fact that last night you thought of begin to think about who are our missionaries and where are they and what are they doing, and Pastor produces this amazing document. I only got to flip through a few seconds, but your families will change because of your knowledge of this, and you will cultivate a culture of engagement for missions. Furthermore, you will develop a heart for missions, and that's why I wanted to talk to you tonight about Jonah. I believe in those 48 verses we just read, Jonah gives evidence that he lost his heart for Nineveh. Now, I said I'm not going to talk to you about all these other things because my main focus is just to place ourselves and take a look at his heart. When someone loses their heart for something, their behavior changes. I've had men and women both tell me that they lost their heart for their spouse. I just don't love her or him anymore. So all I want to say back to them is, if you've given your heart, if you no longer have a heart for your spouse, then you've given your heart to something or someone else. Now this gets very close and very real because maybe you have a situation in your life of which I am not aware, but I'm speaking in a general term to understand. When you give your heart to someone, and then all of a sudden you lose your heart for that someone, something's wrong with your heart. Because marriage, if we're just going to speak of marriage, you make a vow that no matter what happens, you're in for the long haul. And you say, I think he's dumb. Well, you picked him. Nobody made you get married to him. She's just not as sharp as she used to be. You picked her and you met her mom beforehand. So I say this to you. If you lose your heart for missions, it'll show up in your behavior and it'll show up in your kids' behavior. And it'll show up in the corporate nature of the church, the collective nature of the church. So I read you all of that story so I could share with you four ways to know if you still have a heart for Nineveh. You say, Nineveh, the real place, Nineveh in Iraq? I'm not talking about real place Nineveh. I'm speaking as a metaphor. You with me, Isaac? Let's check with Mr. French. Metaphor. Metaphor. Ask your mother when you get home. It's an idea to say, I'm going to speak of Nineveh as if it were Withville, or if it were this county, or if it were this commonwealth. It's a picture. It helps you see something. And if we lose our heart for all of these Ninevehs, what happens? Then they die and go to hell. And Jonah was a prophet. He was a man selected by God to speak for God. That's a significant role. But that'll let you know that you can still be on the inside of church and still be messed up on the inside of you. You can come, be seen, be seeming like you're connected to everything. But the truth is that you can come, go through all the motions, and even show up at the altar on occasion, do all the things that need to be done around here. But if your heart is not in church, then all you've done is you brought your body without your heart. And then it begins to show up in the attitude of the church. I'm assuming that this entourage is yours. Far as you know, please don't say that to me in church. For the record, he's saying now, yes, these are his children. But a lot is dependent on behavior. I'm thinking that's what he meant. So, do any of these precious darlings ever get an attitude?
Absolutely.
And you're saying no. How is that possible? Your sisters do, not you. Aha. And girls, ladies, do we ever have attitude issues down here? Possibly your sister does. I understand. But when your attitude's wrong, your behavior's wrong. And if we make the translation to the church family, when your attitude is not right about missions, when your attitude's not right about leadership, when your attitude is not right about the programs of the church, when your attitude is not right about specific things, what happens? It'll show up in your behavior. You say, well, we can spank our kids. What do we do with church members? So tonight I want you to see four things that indicated to me, that are an indication to me that Jonah's heart was not right. And I believe I've read God's word and I haven't stopped to pray. So I'm going to do that now. If you'll pray with me, dear Father, I read your word in the hearing of your people as I believe you indicated to me I should do this afternoon. And then I think about all of the people who know this account of Scripture. And maybe for the first time in their lives, they ever heard a whole book read to them. God, I also know my job is to give the sense of the word. And so I ask you to help me give the sense of what we read tonight. But none of that is going to work unless your Holy Spirit is working in every heart that's here. Pastor prayed specifically for you to do something so unusual that it could only be attributed to you. And I ask the same. God, show us what our hearts look like. As deceitful and desperately wicked as they are, would you show us our hearts? And let us see whether or not we do genuinely have a heart for our Nineveh. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going back to chapter 1 now. And the very first thing, I believe, when we see someone who's lost their heart for Nineveh is, number one, you ignore God's word. When you show me someone who's lost their heart for missions, they've lost their heart for their community, they've lost their heart for missionaries, I'm going to show you that that person is ignoring God's word. Specifically, verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, he simply disregarded the very word of God. God gave implicit and explicit instructions. And when God gave them to him, notice what he said, arise, go to Nineveh. So he knows what he's supposed to do, arise, knows where he's supposed to go, Nineveh. God describes the city, that great city, and it's not talking about great because of behavior or great because of a value. It was great because of its size, its vastness. It took 3 days to go from one end of town to the other end of town. That's a huge city. And so Jonah is hearing, this is where I want you to go, Nineveh. Notice further what it says. His job, cry against it. Reason, their wickedness is come up before me. He didn't detest the word of God. He just disregarded it. He didn't despise it. He just ignored it. He didn't deny it. He just simply said, I'm not going to do it. He didn't disagree with it. He just disregarded it. That's a critical thing to understand, because when you and I lose our heart for evangelizing the world, it is because we've checked out on God's word. Oh, the preacher's going to get up. He's going to read a passage of scripture. Then he's going to holler at us for 40 minutes and then send us home. And then there's nothing more to it than that. He opened his Bible. You opened your Bible. He found the place. You found the place. But it loses its power in our lives when we just disregard it. Notice what he did. If you think about it this way, he disregarded it devotionally, meaning that he was no longer devoted to the word of God. He disregarded its direction. God said to him, arise. And he ignored that. He disregarded its details. Go to Nineveh. He disregarded its declarations. Cry against it. He disregarded the discipline of what God said. I want Nineveh to straighten up. And Jonah hears all of those things and just checks all the boxes. Yeah, 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 yeah. And then doesn't do anything. You're still dead, right? As far as you know, yeah. What is this precious darling's name?
Claire.
Claire. Yes, sir. We have two Claires then. An eclair. Never mind. And so, if Claire, when you say, Claire, go clean your room, I'm sure your room is spotless and perfect and never needs a help at all. But let's pretend mom says, clean the room. Dad says, clean the room. And you look back at dad and say, yeah, 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 yeah. So what does life look like at the house?
Little different.
Little attitude adjustment coming her way. But that's what we do. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Yeah, 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 yeah. Got to take on missionaries. Yeah, 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 yeah. Got to preach the gospel to every creature. Yeah, 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 yeah. Got to give to missions. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's Jonah. He ignored the word of God. Do you know why Christian leaders will tell you you need to be in the word of God every day? It's because you are his kid and every word in that book is for you. And so when we get ourselves to the places, yeah, 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 missions, okay, missions conference, okay, give, okay, here's my money, buy off my conscience, I don't feel guilty now, I gave, I don't go here, but I pay others to go for me out there, and so therefore I totally ignore. And that's Jonah. But if I asked you at the beginning of the message, how many of you want to grow up and be Jonah? Nobody would raise, unless your really name is Jonah, and then at which point that would really ruin the illustration. But nobody would say, I just want to be Jonah. No. Jonah got messed up. And I think it started with the first thing God said, do this. If we consistently don't do what God says we're supposed to do, then we're disregarding His Word. The Bible you hold in your hands, that Bible contains the very words of God. It has been faithfully and accurately translated. It is a trustworthy copy of the Word of God. And you either disregard it or you obey it. The reason why we would put all these flags up, the reason why we would have a special services to help our get our minds focused is because we easily can lose our heart for Nineveh when we ignore God's Word. That's why we ask you to get in the Word every day. That's why we discipline ourselves to get in the Word every day. Why? Because God, I mess up. I have issues. I've got problems. I retreat to the Word of God and I get life adjustments. Like Claire would get some sort of life adjustment from Dad. The Word of God gives us life adjustments. Don't ignore God's Word. If you've been ignoring God's Word, it is a sure sign you're on the path to losing your heart for Nineveh. Here's the second thing. I want you to see this with me as we go just a bit further here and go down to around verse number 8. And we know we've read the entire thing. We realize this place where they are, the shipmaster's come to him. He's fallen asleep in a boat in the midst of a storm. And now in verse number 8, they said unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us." Now watch these next words because it's the second indicator. "What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou?" You know what I see? And it may not click right away, but I'll explain it in just a minute. How do I know someone's lost their heart for Nineveh? They hide in plain sight. So, what do you mean hide in plain sight? That's silly. That doesn't make any sense. How do you hide in plain sight? It's like you get with the crowd of people that are moving in the direction, but you're not really there. He was on the same boat as everybody else. And he is a prophet, a Hebrew, a man who speaks for God. And what is he doing? He's hiding. He's trying to get away from God. The Word of God says that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. You just want to say, lots of luck there, buddy, because that's not happening. You'll never flee from the presence of the Lord. Psalm 139 makes it clear, no matter where you go, God is there. He sees you. So now I go from a man who's ignored the Word of God to somebody who is trying to hide in plain sight. There, he is there in the boat, and they're having to say, "What's your occupation?" Well, as a man of God, he should have identified who he was. "I'm a prophet of God." But no, he was hiding. Many prophets were known by the appearance, the clothing that they wore. Many prophets were just known in their community. And so now we have a prophet who's hiding in a boat going the opposite direction. I mean, this is where he goes down to is like where Tel Aviv is today. And he's going to get on a boat and go as far as probably Spain is where he wanted to get to. 500 miles in the opposite direction of what God says to do. And he's hiding in plain sight. You say, well, how does that work for this part? Well, same thing. You can come to church and be so far out on God, away from God, not walking closely with him. You come because your parents bring you. You come because you have some sort of position in the church or the school. You come and you have to be here, and you just coast in and you coast out, and you never let God near your heart. And you just go through the motions. Here is what we have. We have a prophet, a preacher, a man of God, and he's hiding out in a ship. He has disguised himself in the world. He is hiding in plain sight. If we went pew by pew tonight and just simply say, "God, could you put the projector on the screen of my heart and lets people really see who I am. That'd be rather intimidating. I mean, I wouldn't like that. And I'm the one speaking of myself to say, God, show them my heart. And then you'll know how deceitful and desperately wicked my heart is. You say, well, why are you preaching to us? Because our hearts are wired the same way. We're all deceitful and desperately wicked. So therefore, I have to keep my heart close to Him. If I'm going to lose my, if I'm losing my heart for Nineveh, number one, you're checking out on God's Word. Done. It's like, okay, yeah. And then we get to the hide in plain sight. You show up at the right places, you do the right things, you're moving with the crowd that's going that direction. But in your own heart, you're so far away from God. Your heart is in Tarshish. And your call is to Nineveh. I was in one, your food line, one over here by the Rural King. And I had to run in and pick up something yesterday. And I got there and there's a guy and his name was Mike. And I saw something was wrong with him. I got to his lane, you know, and I said, well, is there something wrong? Something on your heart I could pray for? And he said, just a lot of work stuff, but that's the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me coming through this line. All I said was, is there something I could pray about for him? Trying to open the door, tell him, and I did. I ended up telling him about the church here and such. But that's right here in your community. A young man, seriously down. I mean, total stranger walks up and sees that you're depressed. Yeah, I'd say that there's something clearly wrong. But if we constantly are living so deep within ourselves and we're ignoring everybody else around us, we're just trying to go through as ninja Christians, never being noticed for anything, never doing any evangelism, never being involved in anything of the church, and we just simply show up, sing to me, entertain me, and every once in a while feed me and I'll come back. Jonah was hiding in a ship. Why? Because he lost his heart for Nineveh. Why did he lose his heart for Nineveh? He ignored God's word. And the second thing I know is that he was hiding in plain sight. He was present, just not accounted for. Here's the third thing I want you to see. And now we'll go to chapter 3 and verse number 10. I want to stop at chapter 2, verse 8 for just a moment. There's a great phrase that's there as Jonah is in Whale University for a period of time, and he's in a deep place of prayer, no pun intended. And he says in verse number 8, a verse that sometimes is not always understood, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. It's a very eloquent statement. But it's the idea of this is that if you're going to pursue lying vanities, what would that be? An idol. You're going to worship false gods. What happens to them? You forsake your own mercy. That's a strong statement that he makes in the midst of his prayer. But I get you to chapter 3 and verse number 10. And again, I'm not here to talk about Nineveh per se. I'm just talking about Jonah's heart. The four places where I see Jonah's heart come to light. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 10. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Could I tell you the third thing? You ignore God's word. That's the first one. You hide in plain sight. Here's the third one. You lose your joy. This should have been, and I don't know if this is possibly the greatest evangelistic campaign that ever took place, of which we are aware. In a 3-day meeting, a town with 120,000 children, right? That's what the last verse of the book ends with, saying that there's 120,000 kids who don't know their left before their right. Well, maybe that could be adults too, but they don't know the difference between their left hand and their right hand. One of the most significant campaigns, evangelistically speaking. I don't know of another recorded in Scripture, even for the 3,000 that were saved at the day of Pentecost. I don't know of another where so many turned to God. And yet on this day, he has no joy. Why should he have joy? If angels rejoice over someone turning to God, then why on earth was there no joy in Jonah's life as he was there to preach to see the people get converted? But he didn't want to see that. His heart was already gone. He had already ignored God's word. He had already been trying to hide in plain sight. And this is also a great reminder. It's God who blesses his word. It's his word that he blesses. And whether he has obedient children or disobedient children, if he has children with cold hearts or fervent hearts, it matters not. He will get his will accomplished. And so Jonah is there, and he is angry, he is displeased. You say, well, Brother O'Malley, that cannot relate to missions. Oh, it can. You've been in church long enough, you'll hear people complain about the expense. We're doing what with missions dollars now? We're going to go ahead and do this and take on more missionaries. It's not time to spend money. It's a time to save money. We ought not to be sending money out around the world. We ought to be keeping it right here. You know what that tells me? You're just like Jonah. You lost your heart for Nineveh. You lost your joy. A town of a huge proportion, 3-day journey across it. They turn to Christ. The king turns to Christ. The town is so big it has a king. And Jonah's angry. Oh, I've seen this happen in church. Years ago, I pastored a church in Alabama. And I remember there was this lady who came from our community. And she had a very checkered past. We have a mixed audience and kids and whatever. I think if you're an adult, you'll understand. She had a very troubled past, a lot of darkness in her life. And she came that day, and she came forward at the altar, and she prayed and accepted Christ as her Savior. On the way out, some well-intentioned elderly ladies, I assume they were well-intentioned, said to me, "Don't believe her. She's come this way before and she'll come back again, and she was just faking it." And I said, "You have no idea what you're talking about." I said it kindly. I said, "But we don't say that here. We take people for who they are right there." And I'm going to tell you, that person bucked up against the very profession of faith she made. I don't know if it was her 100th time or her first time. But the fact is that there was no joy in her decision. There were allegedly well-intentioned people who said, "I know better. She's just as much of a heathen as she was when she walked in here." Well, first of all, she walked in. She came to hear the preaching of the Word of God. She walked forward, which a lot of those others who had a lot to say hadn't done in quite some time, and criticize. But that's what happens to us. We ignore the Word of God, we hide in plain sight, and then what? We just get critical. We lose our joy. We don't have joy when kids come to know the Lord in the chapel at the school. We don't have joy when people in our community trust Christ as their Savior. Church becomes just a business place, and we're just doing transactions with each other, and there's nothing more than that. What I'm telling you tonight is this, that if you will lose your heart for Nineveh when you ignore God's word, when you try to hide in plain sight in church, and when you lose your joy, if someone turning to God doesn't bring you joy, the problem is with you. Number four. I don't know if I'll have time to make commentary on how the book ends, but wow. God ends the book with a question. Twice Jonah said, "Just kill me." That's harsh. But here's the fourth thing that I've seen when people lose their heart for Nineveh. Follow along with me. God said to him, let me go back further. God prepared a whale, God prepared a gourd, God prepared a worm, and God prepared an east wind. God is in control of everything. And now Jonah is there and he's having his conniption fit. He's made, in verse 5, he went out of the city. He made a booth. God sends a gourd. Jonah's glad because of the gourd, verse 6. God sends a worm, kills the gourd. Jonah said, I'd rather die. This heat is killing me. Verse 9, God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? Well, what happened? Jonah was angry for the lost souls that turned to Christ, and now he's angry because he lost his little gourd. There's probably some funny joke I could say about it. He's out of his gourd or something, but we'll let that go. And Jonah said back to God, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Here's the fourth thing. One, you ignore God's word. Two, you hide in plain sight. Three, you lose your joy. Four, you have the wrong focus. Jonah was focused on his possessions that God gave him to begin with, instead of being focused on people. His focus was on the wrong priorities. Yeah, I do well to be angry about a gourd. Just kill me. Have you ever been around a church member who is just permanently cranky? Please don't point in church. They're just permanently cranky. You can't do anything. You could say 1,000 people got saved in Withville and say, yeah, bunch of hypocrites, they needed it. They better not show up in our church. Probably ruin the walls and mess up the carpet. We've worked hard to have all that we have. Bring a bunch of heathen in here. That's a Jonah disposition. Preacher says, hey, let's take on a missionary. Take on a missionary. What are you trying to do? Waste all our money? We don't know what those people, they're probably all in Haiti on vacation. Well, first of all, only cruise ships go to Haiti on vacation. No one else is on vacation in Haiti. I'll assure you of that. See, I can get that for you if you want. Is it Jonah? Yeah. He's got your number. If you and I are not careful, we will lose our focus. And then what? Nineveh dies and goes to hell. I see we have school teachers here tonight. If you lose your focus for your Nineveh in your classroom, your kids are going to follow your model of Christianity. If you're not careful, your bad attitude will affect the entire church. I've seen with cranky Christians, they're more like the iceberg crowd to me. They float in, chill the place down, even if revival fires are burning. They have nothing positive to say. These are the people who've lost their heart for Nineveh. But let's talk about me for a minute tonight. I can easily lose my heart for Nineveh when I ignore God's word, when I try to hide in plain sight, when I lose my focus, when I have the wrong priorities. It doesn't have to be the cranky Christian crowd, the people who have never enjoyed anything. The only thing they enjoy really is their misery. And the truth is, that'll kill a missions program at a church. If you have no joy, if you've have the wrong focus, if the Word of God is just something that sits on the back shelf of your car until the next church service, if you're hiding in plain sight, then I tell you tonight, I submit to you this thought, you may easily have lost your heart for Nineveh. When you drive around town and you see the different people that are here, do you feel their spiritual destination of where they're going? Do you sense that? Do you ever consider that? When pastor says, we're going to take on a missionary, is your first thought, well, that's going to be a real expense, and who's going to check up on them anyway? Why don't we return to an altar tonight and say, "Dear God, don't let me lose my heart for my Nineveh." Your Nineveh is the place where God can work and the God place that God's placed you. God sent him, Jonah, to Nineveh. God had to adjust his heart to get him there, but his heart was still bitter. God said, "Do you do well to be angry?" You know, if God is asking a question like that, he's asking it not because he lacks information. He's asking that question because he's trying to probe to the very heart of the matter. Don't lose your joy. Don't lose your focus. Don't ignore God's word. And don't hide in plain sight.